Father, here this morning, God, we just thank you, Lord, for an opportunity, God, to worship you, Lord. We know that you're a great God. We know that you're a big God. We know that you're a strong God. And here this day, Lord, I ask, God, that you would just open up the hearts of your people, Lord, Father God. And I pray, Lord, that this word, God, will land on fertile soil, fertile ground, God. I pray that you would unlock the perspectives, the mentalities of every man, woman, and young person, God, in this generation. We are careful to give you all the glory and all the honor. It's in the mighty name of Jesus. And Victory Outreach Milwaukee said?
Yeah.
And Victory Outreach Milwaukee said?
Yeah.
Come on, somebody give the Lord a big hand of praise all over this place. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Thank you, worship team. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Once again, we just want to welcome each and every one of you guys out. Amen. And we just want to thank you guys on the behalf of our senior pastors, Pastor Charlie and Sister Marlene. Amen. Somebody say you're in the right place today. Amen. I just want to take this time to thank the Lord for my salvation, for God stepping into my life, for God saving me. Amen. I was an alcoholic. I was a drug addict. I was a gang member out there in the south side streets of Milwaukee. Amen. I was running loose, running crazy, running wild. Amen. And nothing could change me. Nothing could change me. My parents did their best. They tried to raise me. Amen. In South Milwaukee, Oak Creek, right? And until one day they had broke up. Amen. And that's when I went loose. Amen. That's when I went loose and I tried different things, right? I tried to mask and cover things of pain. Amen. It hurt me when I see my parents split up, right? Amen. And I went to all these different areas, right, to try to fill that void using drugs, alcohol, relationships, all the above. I've been there and I tried it. Amen. In and out of the county jails, detox centers, nothing can change my life. Amen. But how many know that God created a ministry called Victory Outreach? Come on, somebody. And I thank God for the Victory Men's Home. Amen. Where I was able to come in 3 years ago and give my life to Jesus. Amen. I was able to give my life to Jesus. He delivered me. He set me free when the detox centers couldn't set me free. Amen. With the pills and this and that, what they tried giving. Amen. That it helped me. Amen. I went back actually 10 times worse. Amen. When I was released from the detox centers, I came back 10 times worse. Right, but I thank God for the home, the training center, the gang ministry. Amen. I thank God for our pastors. Amen. Pastor Charlie and Sister Marlene, thank you, Pastor, for all your impartation, your discipleship, your investments on a daily basis. Pastor, I thank God for you and this opportunity that you're giving me here this morning to deliver a message here this day. Amen. Praise the Lord. As we get into this beautiful morning's message, turn your Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 25. We're going to read a couple verses. And I title this message, A Commitment to Build the Kingdom of God. A Commitment to Build the Kingdom of God. Romans chapter 3, verse 25, the Bible says this. It says, For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. Verse 26 says this, For he was looking ahead and including them in what he would do in this present time. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness, for he himself is fair and just, and he declares sinners to be right in his sight when they believe in Jesus. Amen. We already prayed here this morning. But see, as we take a close examination, as we take a very, very sharp look in this portion of passage, amen, we see, amen, that the Apostle Paul was preaching the gospel. We see that the Apostle Paul, he was transmitting information of God's word there in the church of Rome, there in the city of Rome. Amen. We see that the Apostle Paul, he was systematically explaining the life of Jesus, right? In other words, he was giving an uncut breakdown revelation of God's word, right? He came with the truth. Amen. He was preaching the truth of the gospel. And how many know that in Christianity, that's what takes place, right? The truth of the gospel has to go forth. Amen. And sometimes we don't want to accept the truth. Come on now. Right? We don't want to accept the truth, but we know it's good for us. Can somebody say amen? And see, this morning I want to talk to you about a few things that the Lord began to minister to me about as I was reading this portion of scripture. Amen. And I also believe this will help us as a church to understand that we have been called to build the kingdom of God. Can somebody say amen? And number one, as we see in this particular portion of passage, we see that God overlooked the sin of people. God overlooked the sin of people. When we read in verse 26, we see that for he was looking ahead. God was looking ahead, right? God had a commitment. God knew he had to be committed, right? To look ahead. Amen. We read in verse 25 as well, for God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for sin, right? We know that God was committed enough to send his one and only son, Jesus, right? God was committed from the beginning, before he even created the heavens and the earth. God, amen, was committed. He had the spirit of commitment within him. And why do I say that? It's because you and I are here this day saved by grace, right? See, Jesus himself activated that spirit of commitment even to the time of death, right? God gave him an instruction. God gave him an assignment, right? And even if he had to die on the cross, even though he had to suffer and die for you and I, for a people in Rome, right? For a people all across the world, right? And what stuck to me, amen, as pastor spoke last Sunday morning, amen, he said that Jesus himself, he had an appointment with the cross. Jesus had an appointment with the cross, right? That appointment required commitments, right? Jesus was committed to that appointment, right? Some of us, we're committed to go to the doctor when we have an appointment. Right, we're committed when we have to take, amen, an online class. Right, we want to make sure that if we have an appointment to check out our car, just to get our car fixed, right, to go check out our bank account, we have an appointment with a banker, whoever it may be. Right, inside of us, there's something that in our DNA that says, you know, I got to make this appointment. I got to commit to this one. Are you agreeing with me here this morning? Jesus was committed, right? I believe as God orchestrated this appointment for Jesus, God was viewing past the sin of people in the world. He was viewing past the sin. He knew that you and I were going to sin, right? He knew that you and I were going to get high. He knew that you and I were going to drink alcohol. He knew that you and I were going to cuss, right? Many, many different sins were going to take place. He knew that, right? But when we see in this portion of passage that God overlooked that, right? God overlooked it. See, the commitment Jesus, that God himself had for you and I, wasn't to judge our flaws, but to utilize our potential to build the kingdom of God. Come on, somebody, that's a beautiful praise right there. Amen. To give the Lord a hand of praise. That's a beautiful place right there. Amen. He didn't look at our flaws. He didn't look at our downfalls, our mistakes, even though he knew that it was going to take place, right? But God stayed committed. He stayed committed in that area, right? Because he's seen the potential. He's seen a quality in you and I. He's seen something special, something unique. And sometimes we're blind and we can't see it, right? But it's by hearing the gospel, right, that increases our faith. It's the stirring of the Holy Spirit when the gospel is being preached, right? It's the hope of Jesus. It's the truth of Jesus, right? As we see, right, King David, amen, he committed sin. King David committed adultery. King David murdered, right? We've seen that King David, right, that he committed these sins, right? When the prophet Nathan, amen, he came with the word of the Lord, right? He told David, he says, that the Lord's not going to kill you for this sin, but he's going to send an illness to that son of yours that you made with that woman, and he's to die. He says, you're not going to die, but your whole household will rebel against you because of this sin of murder, of adultery. That was the word of the Lord that gave the prophet Nathan to transmit to King David. Right? But it was his repentance. Right? It was David's repentance that didn't allow him to die. He repented of his sins. He asked the Lord to forgive him. Right? I don't know about you, but I had to repent. Right? I got to repent on a daily basis. I got to ask God to forgive me of my sins. Right? Waking up in sin. Amen? All types of crazy thoughts. Right? It's the repentance. Right? We see Adam himself too. Adam committed sin. He disobeyed the instructions of God. He didn't listen to the instructions of God when God said not to eat off of a particular tree called the knowledge, amen, a tree of knowledge, the tree of good and evil. He said, you could eat off any one of these trees. I gave them here for you and Eve. Come on now. Right? He says, just don't eat off of this one. But Adam in his disobedience, right? He went and still ate off of the tree. Right? But Adam, what he did, he also sought God for forgiveness, and it was granted to him. Calling upon the name of Jesus, asking for forgiveness. Right? We even see the great apostle Paul. Right? He refused the Lord many, many times. Amen. We see that even Paul, he persecuted Christians. He sent men and women to prison. Right? He sent them to prison. If he found out that you were a believer, right, he automatically you were going to prison. Right? You were going to get locked up. You were going to suffer in prison. Whatever happened in prison, that's between you and whoever else is in there. Amen? That was just Paul. At that time, he was Saul. Come on now. Right? He killed Christians. Amen? But even himself, when he encountered God, when he encountered Jesus himself on the way to Damascus, right, Jesus himself, he says, be baptized, let your sins be washed, and go. Amen? As you call upon the name of Jesus, you're forgiven. You're forgiven. But there's got to be a commitment. There's got to be a commitment. Amen? See, David died at the age of 70 years old after ruling and reigning Israel and Judah in Jerusalem for 40 years. Adam lived to 930 years old. Adam had many descendants, right? Paul's death could have happened in prison. We don't know because the Bible doesn't record that information to you and I. Right? But we see that these men continued walking with God till the very end. They were committed. Amen. Somebody say commitment. Amen. They had a commitment. They had a commitment with God. God overlooked their sin with true repentance. Amen. See, as believers of Christ, we must treasure and understand that God has opened a door of opportunity for our lives. Right? And that opportunity is to build the kingdom of God. That opportunity is to build his kingdom, not our own kingdom, because our kingdom is selfish, right? Our kingdom is selfish. We can't take, amen, what we have here, we can't take it up there, right? Our job is to store treasures in heaven, amen? I had a gang leadership meeting the other day, and I was being transparent with them. I said, man, this carrying this assignment alone is not easy. Of running the gang ministry, which stands for the God's Anointed Now Generation, a group of young people, young adults, teenagers, right? We had a couple 11-year-olds, 12-year-olds that love the gang, that want to participate, amen, in it. But what they're doing and what they're seeing at a very, very young age, they're seeing young leaders and young adults place their hands to the plow, amen. They're seeing young adults build God's kingdom. And they're capturing it. They want to be committed too, right? They want to be committed too. There's a commitment level. There's only one way to get to the Father, and that's through Jesus himself. There's only one exception, and that's through Jesus, right? We need Jesus. We need to nurture that relationship with the Lord, with Jesus. We gotta have a praying life, a reading life, right? In order for us to make it up there into heaven, there's only one exception, and that's through Jesus himself. If you don't have Jesus, well, hey, I'm not the judge. But the Bible says there's only one way to make it to the Father, and that's through Jesus. Right? We gotta have Jesus center of our lives, Lord over our lives, ruler over our lives. Right? And see, and these men had that opportunity because God was looking ahead, right? God was looking at the future movements. Come on. Right? God was looking at local impacts. God was looking at global impacts of their lives. Come on now. Right? God is overseeing some sin here in the church here this day. Right? He's given us an opportunity. He's given us a chance to repent and ask God to forgive us so we can be used. Right? To build God's kingdom. Right? I truly believe God was evaluating the potential he placed in his people. As we look in Psalms chapter 11, verse 4, the Bible says this. It says, but the Lord is in his holy temple. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're in the temple of God. The Lord still rules from heaven. He watches everyone closely. Turn to your neighbor and say, God's watching you closely. Examining every person on earth, right? And we know that even God told Jeremiah, he says, hey, you know what, Jeremiah, I knew you before I even created you. I knew you before I even placed you in your mother's womb. I knew you. I already knew what was going to take place, Jeremiah, right? When God called him to preach to nations, God called a young man. I believe the Bible had recorded at the time he was like 15, 16. Commentaries. I believe it was commentaries that said that Jeremiah was young. He was a weeping prophet. Right? God selected and handpicked a young man. Right? To preach to nations. To tell leadership, eldership. Right? To turn from their sins. And Jeremiah being a young man, he was timid. He was scared. Right? But God told him, he says, don't worry, I created you. I'm the one that's going to place my words in you. Just open up your mouth. In other words, he was telling Jeremiah, you need to commit to this. Can somebody say amen? Amen. God already had everything in order. God already had everything in structure. Amen? We see in this particular set of passages that God not only overlooked the sin of people, but we also see in verse 26, number 2, God had the people in mind. As you go with me back to that verse 26, the Bible says that for he was looking ahead and included them. How many know God has included us? He included them, right? He included you and I. He included the church. Amen. He included you and I to make a commitment to build his kingdom, not our kingdom, not the devil's kingdom, but build the kingdom of Jesus, right? To make a commitment, to get it in our spirit, to get it in our hearts, to get it in our DNA, that there has to be a commitment to build God's kingdom. As we see it in Luke chapter 5, verse 30 as well, we see this. It says, but the Pharisees and their teachers of religious law complained bitterly to Jesus' disciples. They said this, why do you eat and drink with such scum? Jesus answered them, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. The next verse says this. It says, I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners and need to repent. Right? I don't know about you, but I needed a physician, right? I was too committed to the world, right? I was too committed to the world. I started at 11 years old doing crazy things, amen? Crazy things. 12 years old, I was already smoking weed. 14 years old, I was drinking heavy. 15, I had tried crystal meth for 1 week. I did crystal meth for 1 week, and it accelerated to popping pills, snorting pills, shooting heroin. I didn't do it that much, but I used heroin, right? I was too committed to the world. It was just in my DNA. It was, the enemy had me trapped. The enemy had me in chains mentally, emotionally, right? I didn't have the strength in my mind. And sometimes we can be like, man, I can't do this. And man, mentally, suicidal, depression, stress, right? I believe I'm speaking to an end time people. Right? I believe I'm speaking to an end time people. I needed a savior. I needed a physician. Right? He committed himself to my life. We see that he committed his life to our pastor. There was a commitment that God already knew. He committed you and I to you and I. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15 says this as well. Says this, this is a trustworthy saying. Apostle Paul speaking, and everyone should accept it. Turn to your neighbor and say, you got to accept this message. He said this, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them all. Right? And when we see that God himself, that Jesus himself, right, was able to save the Apostle Paul, was able to use the Apostle Paul, after he was killing his own people, right? Doesn't that trip you up? I don't know about you, but when I was reading that, I was like, man, God, wow, you have big mercy, big grace. Come on now. Got so much of it. I don't know if I could do that, right? You're killing my people, man. What's up with that right there? But we see the mercy and grace of God. We see the commitment that God had for the Apostle Paul. John chapter 3, verse 17 through 21 says this, God sent his son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. Right? There was a commitment there. Right? God sent his son, Jesus. Right? We see the next verse says, there is no judgment against anyone who believes in him. But anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. It says, and the judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world, but people love the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it, for fear their sins will be exposed. And then verse 21 says this, but those who do what is right come to the light so others can see that they are doing what God wants, right? And see, as Christians, as believers, as followers of Christ, we must intake, comprehend, and understand that God has installed dynamic qualities planned from long ago for you to build the kingdom of God, right? To advance the kingdom of God, to further the kingdom of God, to improve in the kingdom of God. It's for you and I to build, to have a spiritual commitment within us. We have it in us already. We have that within us. It's already been placed within it, but we just got to do it for Jesus now. Right? I always mention many, many times, I'm 24 years old. I'm a young person. Some of you know what it is to be 24. Right? I'm sure maybe some of y'all were out there clubbing at 24. Y'all were out there partying at 24. Right? Y'all were doing this. Y'all were doing that at 24. Right? It's just like an anti-spirit sometimes. Right? But I know I got to check myself in prayer. I know I got to check myself in the Word of God. Because I know God has selected me. I know God has called me. I know God has placed a specific assignment. If I didn't hear that, if I didn't know that, right, I'd probably be out there in the world. Amen? But what we see also is that God still had Noah in mind to build the ark. God still had Noah in mind to build the ark, right? What Noah was doing, he was building something. Amen. People laughed at him. People mocked him. People thought he was crazy because God was giving him clear instructions. He says, this is how you're going to build the ark. You're going to use this wrench. You're going to use this hammer. You're going to use this tape measure, right? You got to use this set of screws and then this particular set of screws. Amen. And this is how it's going to go, right? We also see that God had Jonah in mind, the prophet Jonah, right? The one that ran from the call of God, right? God had called Jonah to go and to preach, amen, to the city of Nineveh, right? To rise up, to take his place, to commit himself, to respond to the call of God, right? I don't know about you, but I believe that God wants to select some people here in the city of Milwaukee, right? To preach about the kingdom of God, amen, to speak against evil, right, to preach the truth against evil in these end times that we're living in, right? And you see it, and it's evident upon our ministry, it's evident upon our pastors, amen, the eldership, our founders, we see that it's evident that there's a commitment, right, because they're building the kingdom of God. They want to further, they want to improve in what God has for the people in the community, in this society, in this messed up society, in this messed up world, right? See, a committed Christian that's spirit-minded will say yes and amen to build God's kingdom. A believer that understands the value of God, including us in his will, should bring a stirring. It should bring a spiritual stirring. When you know that God has included you, when God is calling you right there where you're at, it doesn't matter. I don't even care how old you are. God is including you in his kingdom. God is including you in his will. Maybe you have a great paying job, right? And you're thinking about the vision. You see what God is doing within our ministry. You're like, man, maybe I can donate to that. Maybe I can contribute to that. Hey, maybe, Lord, I can serve you with my fight. Because God, you blessed me with a job. God, you blessed me with a job, and I know these Christians, these people are real deal, right? Or maybe you have a teaching type of skill within you, and you want to help out children, you want to help out kids. Whatever it is that God has placed within you, right? It should bring a stirring, and if not, I would have to question it. I would have to question that relationship that you have with the Lord. Is there a Matthew chapter 6, verse 6 applied in your life today? When we read that scripture, it says this. It says, but when you pray, go away by yourself. Shut the door behind you and pray to your Father in private. Somebody say, I got to pray in private. Say it loud. I said, say, I got to pray in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. Amen. Will reward you. I don't know about you, but I want to be rewarded by my Heavenly Father. I want my Father in heaven to look and say, man, that's my son right there. I selected him. I pulled him out the gutter. I pulled him out the gutter. Amen. I pulled him out of his Egypt. Amen. Here in the city of Milwaukee. And I want to use him. Amen. I see his commitment level. Amen. I want him to preach about the kingdom of God. I want him to preach the truth of the gospel. Right? It comes through prayer. I just apply what my pastors teach me, amen, disciple me on. They just say, man, brother, you got to pray. That's it. Amen. Praise God. I can do that, right? I could press in. I got to press in, right? When you're not even feeling it, you're just like there. You just got to press into God's presence. If you're committed and if you want what God has for you and God has something, you got to press in. Right? There's got to be this scripture applied to our life so others can see, right? So they can see the lights in this end time that we're living in. They have to see the lights. My best friend, I believe just last week he had overdosed and died. My best friend, I grew up with him. We kicked it. We partied, right? He was basically like, almost like my armor bearer in the world. He was like my sidekick. He stood next to me, and man, we partied. We traveled throughout the South Side, and we did this, we did that. And I just found out, man, that he overdosed and he died. I did my best to reach out to him, to try to invite him to the church. He came into the home. Amen. I think I was saved already 3 months. Set free by the power of God. Amen. And I was just testifying to all my friends. Right? And I just found out that he died. Right? He had passed away. What was I going with that? Amen. But the time is now. We're living in end times. The devil, amen, he's had an assignment too. Right? His mission is to kill, steal, and destroy. Right? To destroy our minds. To destroy, amen, our mentalities, our perspective. So we don't have to praise the Lord. So we don't have to worship the Lord. He's trying to keep us stuck, paralyzed for what's taking place within our personal lives. I noticed that I got to press through that. My brother's strung out on drugs right now. My younger brother, 23 years old, strung out on heavy drugs, smoking big time crack, using big time heroin. Big time. Driving like a maniac all over the South Side. My mom's like, man, you just dropped me off. And man, I was so scared. I was so paranoid. I thought we were going to crash. He drives crazy and this and that. All I got to do is pray, man, and say, God, man, save my brother. Save my brother. You saved me. I was violent. My brother's really not violent. He's just right now heavy on drugs. I was violent. I made some bad choices. Right? I took care of things with violence, using weapons, fighting all the time. That's who I was. But we know that God sees all things. We know that God has created all things. The Bible says that greater things that you and I should do, Jesus said, greater things that you and I should do to build his kingdom. Right? Greater things. These are the words of Jesus. Amen. See, God not only looked past the sins of the people and had them in mind, but number three, the timing of God. The timing of God. When we go back to that specific verse, verse 26, we see that it says, for he was looking ahead and including them in what he would do in this present time. In this present time, right? See, God loved you and I so much that he committed himself to you and I. He committed himself. He gave himself to you and I. God has placed and positioned, established a people that were once lost, that were once hopeless. Amen. To build his kingdom, to do great exploits for God, to do tremendous works for God. Right? We see that the Apostle Paul was delivering something special to the congregation there in Rome. God had us sinners in mind, right? To build the kingdom of God in prayer, to build the kingdom of God in Bible reading, to build the kingdom of God in evangelism, to build God's kingdom in preaching his word and testifying about Jesus, right? Responding to God's call. Serving in the church. Building the kingdom of serving in the church, right? God has called you and I. Can you agree with that here this morning? God has selected you and I to serve him. To serve him within the church, right? Some of you are able to organize and orchestrate something big for God to build his kingdom. It's something that Jesus himself placed within you. He placed it within you. He placed it within your life. He placed it within my life. Right? A commitment to build the kingdom of God. And even in those days where the Apostle Paul was preaching Jesus and he was ministering the gospel, right? There in Rome alone, there was 50,000 Jews. 50,000 Jews. Amen? People would gather up in groups. They would study the Bible. Right? They would worship Jesus. Come on, somebody. Right? They ran life groups. Amen. Right, they had fellowships, amen. They had outings, right? They ran ministry in the church. Come on, somebody. I don't know about you, but when I was reading this particular portion of chapter of the verse, amen, I couldn't help but to think about our ministry and what God is doing today, right? What he's doing today in this present time, and the timing is now. The time of God is now to respond. Amen. No matter what's taking place, the circumstance within your personal life, right? That door of opportunity is still there. It's open, right? You just got to walk in it by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight, the Bible says. Not only be a hearer of the word, but be a doer of the word, right? There's many, many gifts that God himself gave to the church, and it is to be used to build his kingdom, right? And it's not going to come easy. All right, we preach that, we know that, and we teach that. It's not going to come easy, right? But when you have Jesus center of your life, right, when you know that God is with you, right, that no weapon forged against you will prosper, right, that no weapon forged against you will succeed. Come on, somebody, right? It's the blood of Jesus that we got to plead over our lives, right, so we can respond to God's call, so we can build God's kingdom, amen, and so we can commit to what God has called you and I to do. And some of you know what you're called to do, right? Answer the call. See, Christianity requires commitment in order to build the kingdom of God. And we know Paul himself was committed in the hard times. He was committed in the hard times, in the tough times, right? He went sleepless nights, and man, he went through hardship. He went through wreckship. He was stoned. He was beat up, right, for carrying the name of Jesus. Amen. We've had people reject us, talk crazy to us when we hit the streets, when we evangelize. All we can do is say, man, God bless you. Praise the Lord. We're just doing the work of Jesus. We want to build God's kingdom, right? We want to build the kingdom of God, right? There's something unique for each and every one of us. Amen. But Paul had to press in because Paul was committed. Paul was committed, right? See, an end-time disciple, an end-time minister, an end-time believer that's committed to this vision is spiritually committed to build the kingdom of God, right? As committed end-time disciples of the Lord, our purpose is to build the kingdom of God. That's our purpose as end-time disciples, end-time servants. Our area, our purpose, our assignment is to build God's kingdom. No matter where you're at, don't get discouraged, right? Me personally, I don't seek the platform. Amen. I don't seek it. I'm not chasing it. It's what God is doing. God is the one that's doing that, right? Don't get discouraged. Wherever you're at, don't get discouraged, right? You're building God's kingdom right where you're at today. Right where you're at in the church, you're building God's kingdom, right? Our calling is to rise up to the plate humbly in this global movement, to carry the ministry and spread the gospel of Jesus. Paul said this in the book of Acts chapter 20, verse 24. He said this. He says, but my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus. The work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God, right? And the Apostle Paul knew that his assignment was to preach about the kingdom of God. His assignment was to preach God's word. Our assignment, you and I, is to preach God's word, to testify, to share to our families, to people at our schools, right? To people at our job sites, right? To spread the light of God, right? To expose darkness, amen? That's our assignment, is to preach about God's kingdom. And Paul knew that. See, our God vision assignment is Isaiah chapter 45, verse 2 and 3. The Bible says this. He says, this is what the Lord says. I will go before you, Cyrus. Turn to your neighbor and say, the Lord's going to go before you. I will smash down gates of bronze and cut through bars of iron. And I will give you treasures hidden in the darkness, secret riches. I will do this so you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, the one who calls you by name. Amen. And we see our founder, right? We see our international leaders, our founder, Pastor Sonny and Sister Julie. We see that they have laid their life down. We see that they had committed themselves to this vision, right? To start a church, right? For a people like you and I. Amen. The Lord clearly had given a vision, right? To a man that was on heroin there in the city of New York. Right? He was a heroin. They labeled him the junkie. They called him the junkie, that he was never amount to anything, that he was never going to change. Right? But our founder has committed his life to build the kingdom of God. And what our founder has done in building God's kingdom, amen, he has established rehabilitation homes. He has established training centers. Right? For men and women and all types of ages, right, to come in and get discipled, to get work with, amen, to get trained for God's purpose and for God's will, right? Building God's kingdom, right? We see the vision in our own very own backyard, the present time of God. We see it taking place here this day. Right? When we read verse 26 in Romans chapter 3, we see that for he was looking ahead and including them in what he would do in this present time. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness, right? For himself is fair and just, and he declares sinners to be right in his sight when they believe in Jesus, right? We see that God was being fair. He was being fair to you and I. Amen. When we used to never be fair to others, we were never fair to other people, right? We were unfair. We were unfaithful. We were unloyal. We were uncommitted, right? But we see the opposite with God our Father. We see the opposite with Jesus. Amen. We see it. It's clear to us as servants of the Lord today that our very own pastor, amen, came from the city of Salinas, right? Born and raised in Texas, right? God had placed the call within his heart, within his life, to come and start a church here in Milwaukee, amen, to establish a rehabilitation home for men, amen, and for women, right? So men and women could come, right, and get rehabilitated, get right with God, right? Applying this scripture this day, we've seen that our pastor, right, was building, amen. He started from the bottom, right, from a 15-seater church, from a 15-seater church. Then it accelerated, I believe, to 150-seater, to like 200, amen. And look what we have today. I said, look what we have today, amen. We have a 600 to a 700-seater in this church, amen, within this facility, right? We see the building set of skill that Jesus has placed within our pastor to build his kingdom. But it's all that God has been doing in this present time, right? We see that, amen, that there was a church launching about a year ago. Come on, somebody there in Jacksonville, Florida, right? A new church, a big church, a beautiful church with a rehab home with men and women, right? And we know that there's going to be another launching taking place. Come on now. Right? There's going to be another launching taking place in Green Bay. Right? We see our pastor, he's been committed, and we see that he's establishing, right? He's building God's kingdom. I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of that. Right? I want to be a part of that. I want to follow my pastor. Amen. I want to see what God is still able to do. Amen, to build this kingdom. As I go ahead and call up the worship team, you guys can make your way. We see the kingdom of God being built here in our very own backyard, here in this present time. God is demonstrating to you and I here this day his commitment. God is demonstrating his grace. God is demonstrating his mercy. God is demonstrating his love for you. He loves you. He's not giving up on you. He's still with open arms saying, my son, my daughter, I'm still here for you. You got to know me years ago. You may have left a different ministry, a different church, but he's still here this day. Don't let it get too late. That's what I told my best friend. I said, don't let it get too late. I tell my brother. It's like the enemy tries to keep my brother from responding to me. My brother at least calls my mom. And when he calls my dad, he knows that my dad's going to yell at him. He knows that my dad's going to snap on him. He knows that my dad's going to say, you need to get help. You know, don't come to my house unless you want change. And my brother will still call him and hear all that, asking him for money. And what I'm trying to do is just talk to my brother. I know the Lord has called my brother. The Lord ministered to that to me. Amen. He showed me. And he won't even respond, not even a text message, a phone call. I just want to speak some life into his body, into his soul. It's like the enemy's trying to hinder that, right? He's in contact with everybody else in my family. But there's a call that awaits. There's a call that awaits. Maybe your nephew, your niece, your son, your daughter, your cousin, your parents, whatever. Maybe something's taking place, right? Within your personal life. We gotta come to the Lord. We gotta give it to Jesus. Amen. I gotta work out my own salvation. You gotta work out your own salvation. We gotta fight for our families, right? We gotta fight for our ministries. We gotta fight for the city. See, I know that God has placed something within my heart. I know God has given me an assignment for the gang ministry, which once again stands for the God's Anointed Now Generation. And I have the privilege locally to oversee that ministry here. Something that God has placed within me. Right? And I know that with that assignment is going to come one day to build a gang home, to run a gang home, to run a gang hub, to help out young men, to work with them, to disciple them, to feed them to the local vision, that our pastor could look at the gang home and say, you know what, there's a young leader right there, boom. Something that God has placed within me. It's out of this world to me. I'm just like, man, amen, God. But I know it's going to come, and I'm going to build his kingdom. It requires a commitment. I know what that comes with. I know what that comes with. It comes with a sacrifice, a commitment, right? Tough times. I know what that comes with. I know. But it's what God has called me to do, right? Pursuing a youth minister's license. I'm called to be an evangelist, right? I'm called to preach the gospel. I know God has called me to preach his word. This is like my training ground. I've been trained, but this is like my training ground in this assignment with the gang ministry locally to one day become globally, amen? I'm committed to build the kingdom of God next to my pastors, available to them. That's what it's going to take. If you want to build God's kingdom, if you want to respond to God's call, make yourself available to the man of God and his wife. Present yourself. Say, God, I know you called me. I know you've given me ideas, strategies. I know you've placed something within my life, for my family, for my relatives. You take control as I commit myself to you. Right? See, your level of commitment to God presents itself with your availability, with your schedule. God is seeking, God is searching some people that will commit themselves to build his kingdom. And there's many, many ways to build his kingdom. We tried our plans, but they didn't work. We tried building our own kingdom, it never worked. There was always something there, it's empty. We failed, right? When we fell, it never worked. It never worked out. Jesus was committed. He was so committed. He prayed to the Father. He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. He says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. All over this place to stand. Jesus was so committed that he knew he was going to be tortured. He knew he had to die for you and I. To have an opportunity, to have a chance. Because some of your siblings, some of your relatives, they need a chance. It's going to come through you. I believe that. It's going to come through your standing. As you're saved, your whole household will be saved, the Bible says. As God has selected you, he's going to select your whole household. But we got to live right. We got to be right. We got to do right before Jesus. We can't put up a front in front of the people in the church. Nah. Behind closed doors, in private, then God will reward you. Whatever the song is here this morning. God has ministered to you here this morning. If you feel the tug of God in your hearts, if you know that God is holding you accountable to something, when you know that it's going to come from you, if God ministered to you, spoke to you, the altars are open. I want to make an altar call. I want to pray for you. Come and grab a hold of the Lord here this morning.